Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your wake-up call. Wake up the passion in God's purpose in you. Purchase Wake Up Call, the book by Arthur Pastor Annie Sally. Tune in to Wake Up Call Radio Show. Join host Pastor Warren and Annie Sally and their guests for a powerful dialogue. Real talk for everyone. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hello, and welcome to the Wake Up Call Radio Talk Show. I'm Pastor Annie Sally.
I'm Pastor Warren Sally.
You can join us right here every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Wake Up Call Radio Show and also the Wake Up Call Radio TV Broadcasting Network and Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us today. Today is part two of Spiritual Abuse in the Church. We're excited about this series to bring awareness about spiritual abuse in the church.
Amen.
Today, our special guest is Pastor Angela Williams from Columbia, South Carolina. She's the pastor of Rejoice Christian Center. She's also the author of Spiritual Abuse in the Church. Welcome to the Wake Up Call Show, Pastor Angela.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be back, and I'm excited about today.
All right, all right, all right. We're excited about having you back, because we discuss a lot, but we have a lot more to discuss about spiritual abuse in the church. I want to read a scripture, and then we will get straight into our interview with Pastor Angela Williams. The scripture says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? Yea, eat the fat. You clothe you with the wool. You kill that are fed, but you feed not the flock. With force and with cruelty have you ruled them." That's coming from Ezekiel 34. Verses 2 through 14.
Amen.
Okay. And also, we want to add a disclaimer here as well. Spiritual abuse in the church is our topic. However, we want to say that not all churches are guilty of spiritual abuse. Not all leaders, not all churches are guilty of it. However, we need to bring awareness because a lot of people are dealing with this issue. So that's why we're talking about it. And we want you to share your testimonies pertaining to spiritual abuse in the church. We're going to have some call-ins today as well to share personal testimonies. Well, Pastor Angela, can you share with our listeners and our viewers three things you would like them to know about you?
Okay. Number one, I'm single. I'm saved. I've been saved ever since I've been 15 years old, so I've been saved a long, long time. Praise God. And I'm believing God for my Boaz. Amen.
Amen.
I was wondering whether y'all was going to say amen.
We're total.
Number two, I am a preacher, teacher, pastor, writer, and singer. I've been preaching for the past 30 plus years. And number three, I love God. I'm honest. I love my church, Rejoice Christian Center. And I just avail myself to God to do whatever he
can. Amen. 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 Well, let's talk about your brand new book, Spiritual Abuse in the Church. Let's talk briefly about what inspired you to write the book?
Holy Spirit. On my job at school, and the Holy Spirit just pricked my heart and just told me I was getting ready to write something else. I had been working on some other books. And I said, well, this is going to be my second book. And the Holy Spirit said, no, write the book about spiritual abuse. And I looked around because I knew I was in the room by myself. And so I wanted to make sure I was still like that. And I was, but it was the Holy Spirit, prompting of the Holy Spirit really encouraged me to write this book. And he basically walked me through everything that I needed to do to get the book written.
That's good. That's how powerful he is. Talk about, help our listeners and our viewers understand spiritual abuse. Can you define spiritual abuse?
Yes. I'll give you the definition. Like you said, our disclaimer, spiritual abuse is not happening in every church, and every preacher or leader is not an abuser, and they're not mistreating people in the name of God or in the name of the church. The spiritual abuse occurs when a person in religious authority or a person with a unique spiritual practice misleads and maltreats another person in the name of God or the church or in the mystery of any spiritual concept. It's also religious enslavement with domination, manipulation, intimidation, and control. Spiritual abuse is also called witchcraft in the church.
That's good. That's it in a nutshell. Thank you for that. Well, let's talk about the role of the shepherd, because we talk about the spiritual abuse in the church, and I know in your book you talk about the role of the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about the role of the shepherd.
Yes, the role of the leader or the under-shepherd in the church or the shepherd in the church is to lead people to the great shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, and to teach them how to be disciples. It's a mission to Jesus and his authority. A lot of times we have shepherds in our churches, but this is not what's going on. They're not leading people to Christ. Instead, they're leading people to themselves and indoctrinating them to be their followers in total submission to them and their authority. These shepherds have become dominating, and they teach that they are the church's church members' Lord and Master and Savior, rather than Christ being their master and savior. And a lot of people have been just dogged out by the shepherds in the churches now, and they don't know which way to go. They're confused, and a lot of people leave from under a shepherd, and, you know, most of us have been, I guess, I call it toasted, when someone has just painted this picture that if you leave, you walk out, you're going to be without a covering, and they call you uncovered and say all kind of things about you and say all kind of curses and horrible consequences are going to happen, and the fear tactic caused people to just be so afraid to leave a church that they're actually being spiritually abused in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And I want to mention a few signs as well to add to what you said. If you're facing these signs, then it helps you to understand spiritual abuse. Does your leadership curse anyone who leaves the church? Does your leadership curse anyone that leaves the church, such as Pastor Williams just stated, by saying you will be destroyed? Number two, does your leadership teach that you're only that church is the only true church? Does your leadership teach that your church is the only true church?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about spiritual.
I've been under that too, where everybody in the church believed that they were the only church and they were the only true church, the only righteous church. And I kept trying to tell people, you haven't been to every church yet. You can't say that. You've only been to a few churches. You know, everywhere you go, there's a church on the corner. You can't say what's going on in that church unless you've been in there. I've been a part of what's going on. But,
correct.
But I call it being brainwashed by the shepherds, by the leaders.
And then the other one, are you, the other sign is, are you forbidden to fellowship with your family and unsaved loved ones? Well, no, not church.
Some of the abuse tactics that I've seen have actually caused divorces and caused people to separate and split up in church. And it's like you can only be with the pastor. You can't really be with your family and your friends. And it's almost like cutting them off. And you don't realize what you're doing until it's almost too late when you really see that you haven't really had years of any kind of fellowship or communion or anything with your family. A lot of it is just performance-based approval and promotion system in the church that just keep people jumping through hoops because they're afraid of the spiritual taskmasters and the things that they're putting before them.
Wow. You are certainly right. You're certainly right. And that was one of the ones I was going to mention, too. A lot of the manipulation causing marriages to separate due to the fact that one or the other spouse is not a part of that church.
And they demonize the other spouse.
Right.
They demonize the other spouse and to keep that era of bond on it and separation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the other sign is an overemphasis on leadership, on submission. They teach overly on submission and rebuke. They rebuke you. They overemphasize rebuke and submission. You know, this is a constant teaching. And then the other area that we heard a lot is the fact that the leadership preaches on you. You know, they rebuke you openly, they preach on you, and all of these are signs of spiritual abuse in the church. And we just wanted to state a few to help you understand just how manipulative spiritual abuse is in the church. And the other one, are your church manipulative in their giving? They manipulate you in giving, you know, to the point where you don't give, you're going to be cursed. And I think, Pastor, you spoke about that last week.
I have a piece I want to share. And I'm going to read it just like it is off the page. It's on page 17 and 18 in my book. It says, I have a fresh point of bullying in the pulpit. Because that's what we're talking about when the leaders get up and say all of those things. They're bullying people from the pulpit. I have a fresh sense of bullying in the pulpit mentality from growing up attending a Pentecostal church. I remember many times the pastor getting up in the pulpit and embarrassing the members for not being able to give the extra offerings or specials during certain events and donations to their own personal causes. Some choir directors and singers were told not to participate in certain services unless they paid certain amounts of money. Others were coerced by verbal cues from the pulpit to line up and pay, causing them to lose homes, cars, and get behind in household bills. There were times when the pastor would chastise or intimidate the members in front of guests to ensure that he or she acknowledged his or her authority and position as head of the church. This should never happen in the house of God. Other times, leaders have made the members to feel like slaves or oxen with heavy weights on, trying to fulfill roles not even identified in the Bible. The scripture says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. This is a deception from the enemy. Satan uses whoever submits to his tactics to try and destroy the Lord's churches.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So this is big. And, you know, as I've stated before, that's why we wanted to share spiritual abuse in the church. And we thank God for you, Pastor, for writing such a great book pertaining to spiritual abuse in the church that you can bring awareness to the body of Christ and abroad about this issue. Galatians 5, actually Galatians 2 talks about spiritual witchcraft and witchcraft in the church. And then Galatians 5 talk about be no more entangled with the spirit of bondage.
Right.
What I've seen a lot of people, they will get out of one bondage situation in a church but they find themselves in a situation, but in a different church. It's almost as if they are prone to getting in these types of situations. People, you know, even abuse victims, a lot of times they don't feel that they are loved unless they have a certain behavior. And this is prevalent in the church as well as outside of the church. So I wanted to bring that to our listeners and viewers as well. So we're talking about spiritual witchcraft in the church or in the church. And Pastor Angela is with us from Rejoice Christian Center, Columbia, South Carolina. For those of you that are just joining us, we're talking about spiritual abuse in the church. Now, let's talk about some of the major types of spiritual abuse outlined in your book, Pastor.
Okay. There are some common tactics that the enemy uses, and they're all D words. First one is deception.
Mm-hmm.
Deception, discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Division, and we know what that looks like.
Division.
Satan is always trying to divide the church and cause a split in churches.
Right.
But there are
right.
four tactics that I write about in the body of Christ, how the enemy is always coming in trying to tear up the church and break up the church and cause confusion in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Diversion, discouragement, deception, and division. Those are the four common tactics that the enemy has brought into the church, and we sat back and we allow it to happen. I think we can do a whole lot better than what we are doing, but we don't. We sit back and I think sometimes the people of God just sit back and we don't want to do any better. We just accept mm-hmm. things because we want to be accepted.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times we've actually given up our right to even thinking because it's so much easier for somebody else to think for us so we won't have to worry about it. If it goes wrong, then we got somebody to blame instead of blaming ourselves.
Oh, that's good. That's true. That is so true. So Restate those four again.
It's deception, division, diversion, and discouragement.
Wow. That is so true. Let's talk too about you know, we had a powerful conversation last week talking about how to expose in his tactics.
Okay.
Tell us about how to expose Satan in his tactics, according to your book.
Well, one thing you definitely have to have to expose him is you got to know the Word of God. You've got to have built a very strong relationship with Christ. Most people, we just run around and we repeat, and we say things that we hear other people say. That's not going to stop Satan from trying to kill, steal, or destroy, or anything else. Just because you memorize some scriptures, that's not going to stop him. You've got to know what it takes to expose him, and you got to be able to recognize him. And you are not going to recognize the tactics of the enemy without studying the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, having a relationship with Christ, listening to the Holy Spirit, and following the teachings of the Holy Spirit. We'll follow people in a heartbeat, but when the Holy Spirit starts talking, it seems like we just don't get it. We volunteer to do everything else except for what God's Word really wants us to do.
You are certainly right. You are certainly right. Yeah. That's how we're drawn away, and that's how Satan runs havoc in our lives.
And he does.
That's how he runs havoc, because if you don't know the Word of God or you don't have a relationship with God, well, then you're praying for the enemy. You pray, and you're gullible. You're gullible at that point. And they can recognize this. They can recognize this. The offender can recognize when you're gullible and when you're not you're not. Yeah, they can recognize this. They can recognize this because notice this is not happening with everyone, but there's a certain group of people that this is happening with.
Mm-hmm.
Those people that are gullible, those people that are open. You know, the enemy knows you. Satan is very tactful.
Mm-hmm.
He's so tactful. So the enemy sets up and he seeks whom he may devour. So we have to be aware of this issue.
Right.
We have to be aware of this issue. We can't just go around thinking that everyone loves you and everyone has your best interest at heart because that is not the case in all instances. And the Bible says, be careful. You know, we got to be mindful. We got to be careful because Satan is our adversary.
You're right. Let me share something. This also comes from the book. It was a question that I answered. How do we protect God's people from the toxic influences of an intoxicated leader or others in authority? When abuse is not reported, the abuse is enabling the abuser and harboring a fugitive from being helped. We have been taught to keep our mouth shut and keep the peace. The church's role should be to help, not hurt, without jealousy. Jesus died that we could have abundant life, and that life is in him, not us. We have to replace Christ as Lord over our lives and not Savior only so that we can handle his people with unconditional love.
That's good. That's good. So if you said it's like aiding and abetting.
Not only the fugitive can get in trouble, can get in trouble with prosecution, but also that individual that harbors the fugitive can get in trouble as well. And as the pastor said, you know, just sitting back and not doing anything. Make us just as guilty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. That's good. That's good. Wow, that's something to think about.
We become silent partners, and I tell everybody all the time, when you sit back and you know abuse is going on and you keep your mouth shut as a silent partner, you're just as guilty as the person that's performing the abuse. You're the person now. You're the intoxicated leader. A person in authority because you're doing the same thing. You know exactly what's going on, and you won't even speak up. And I've had friends who knew that I wasn't guilty of certain things, and they never would open their mouth. They would just set a prayer to even get involved or say anything. And they sold me down the river.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that going on. But this is an area that we need to discuss, and this is an area that we need to speak up about, you know? And that's what the Wake Up Call is all about, sounding the alarm, sounding the alarm. Because the Bible says to know to do good and do not is a sin, and that's basically what you're talking about, how in the world, you know, the justice system, and you harbored someone that's a criminal, then you are as guilty as that person that actually did the crime, and this is exactly what you're talking about. So it's our responsibility.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility to do what we can do to bring awareness to this issue and to help people that are enslaved. Because one that a lot of times we don't understand. This is just like an addiction, you know. Even for people that are so prone to these types of ministry, it's like an addiction. It's like they can't cut away from it because they're so used to this type of behavior. Now they talk against it, but it's almost as if they don't have the power to break free of it, you know. Because why in the world do you be a part of something that you know is not pleasing in the eyesight of God? And a lot of people will attest to the fact that they know what the leaders are doing. They know that this is happening in the churches, but they go right back on Sunday and set up the same ministry. I don't see what is the problem. I know what the problem is. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible tells us that there will be this type of spirit in the day and in the last
what this is. Spiritual abuse is a spiritual addiction with no accountability. That's what it is.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And people are so afraid to even speak up because they've been validated by these leaders for so many years in the church, and they've been put on these pedestals, and they put these leaders on the pedestals, and that's why when leaders fall and things happen, the church be the first one to say, oh, I can't believe that. I didn't think they were like that. You put them there.
Right, right.
And you kept them there. You are so right. You are so right. Well, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to take a little break here, and we ask that you stay with us. We're coming back. We're going to talk more with Pastor concerning spiritual abuse in the church, and then we're going to have some call-ins. We're going to have some testimonies. And if you want to call in and share your personal testimony about spiritual abuse in the church, you're welcome to call in and address your testimony. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is not a time to get distracted. This is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord. And you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you started. So please don't let the time you stole be wasted.
to the Wake Up Call talk show. We are talking about spiritual abuse in the church. Mm-hmm. Our special guest is Pastor Angela Williams from Columbia, South Carolina. She's the pastor of Rejoice Christian Center. She's also the author of Spiritual Abuse in the Church. Thank you for joining us. And welcome back to the show, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming back. Well, let's talk further about spiritual abuse in the church. Let's talk about freedom from abuse. You mentioned that in one of the chapters. Talk about the freedom from abuse. What does it take to get free from abuse?
Well, first of all, you have to admit that there is abuse going on in there, and that's one of the problems of the church itself. We don't want to tell the truth about anything. It's just so easy to just lie about stuff, but you have to admit that there's abuse going on in the church. And a lot of people will probably be upset about that book wherein there are a lot of people that I've dealt with so far that's excited about it coming. But there will be people that will be saying that there is no spiritual abuse in the church when they know that it is. So we've got to make sure that we understand that you cannot fix anything that's not broken. So if spiritual abuse is not happening in your church, then, you know, we don't need to go and try to make it or make up anything. But if we know things, especially if you bought the book, which will be coming out next month, I've got some spiritual abuse tips that I'm going to share. You have to admit you're being abused. You have to talk to somebody about the spiritual abuse. Then you have to pray and forgive the abuser and yourself for allowing yourself to get so caught up and so connected into it. Then you have to reconnect your relationship with Christ. Find a new church home if it's needed and get involved. Follow leaders and pastors as they follow Christ. Our problem is we just love to follow people. We don't even care where they're going. We just feel like I'm a good follower. If the pastor's going somewhere and I'm able to stand up and say I'm following the pastor, I feel like I'm a good follower in the church. But if they're not following Christ, then we need to back off of that. Mm. We have to purpose to be godly examples ourselves. That means when people see you, they need to know that even though Jesus says that the church matters, we know he loved the church and we're supposed to love him. The Bible says, Jesus said, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, to make her cleansing by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. A spiritual abuse church is not a radiant church. It's a slap in the face to God. And that's not what he called us to be. He didn't call us to be abusive to anybody. We have to teach other people how to be godly examples by living godly examples in front of them. You can't. We're not to put a stumbling block in another person's way. We're not to destroy the work of God for the sake of the people. And sometimes leaders do that. They will destroy the work of God for the sake of the people. If a leader's upset with somebody, rather than give you credit, he'll destroy what you've done well just to not give you credit or not, you know, allow people to know that it was you and it was your thought or your idea instead of their own. We're to watch our own stuff because somebody else is always watching us. We're an example. Wherever we go, there's somebody always watching us. We're somebody's Bible. They're not opening it up and read it, but they're going to be watching and reading our lives. And then we need to test the spirits to see if they're from God. Because we run behind everything that comes up, everything that pops up in the church. The Christians seem to want to run behind it. And we need to wake up because we don't have to run behind everything that pops up, thinking that everything somebody say is of God or because they're a leader or because they're a preacher. I'm a preacher, but we be in the flesh sometimes, and sometimes we say things, and later on we have to go back and take that stuff back because we realize that wasn't from God, and they've sucked it up, and they feel like, you know, because we say things that they're just supposed to go out and just take it. But there's some steps. You've got to understand that you've been wounded, and you have to admit your negative feelings when you're in spiritual abuse. So I have a section in my book called Spiritual Abuse Recovery 101. The damage caused by spiritual abuse is not irreversible, meaning it can be changed. And it's very possible to regain your relationship back with the Father and even have a build a best one with Christ. God's will in our life, and the yes he wants us to say is not based on what we do, who we are, but it's based on what Jesus already did for us and what he wants to do in our life now. We serve a God that will not change, and that God makes all things new. So our lives can be renewed. It can be different. It can be completely protected, provided. We can feel and experience the love, the peace, the healing, the deliverance, and the power of God. But we've got to admit that we've been abused and stop trying to cover it up. Band-Aids causes nothing but things that take a longer time to heal. That's all it does. No air gets to it. It takes a long time to heal.
That's it.
Take the band-aid off and be healed.
Yes.
I love
it. Take the band-aid off.
Wow. Well, we have someone calling into the show, and we want to take this call. She wants to share her personal testimony about spiritual abuse. She wants to share her personal testimony. Welcome to the Wake Up Call Radio Talk Show. Caller 1971, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
My name is Pastor Ava Roseborough, and I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Pastor Roseborough, and share your personal testimony concerning spiritual abuse in the church.
Wow. I am so glad you're doing this topic because it is so needed. My personal experience with spiritual abuse, I set up under a leader that was pretty much controlling. At one point, I had to decipher whether it was ministry or an occult. Because in this particular church, we weren't allowed to fellowship with other churches. We were pretty much assigned to take care of the first family, and I mean do take care of them as far as like paying their rent and you know, being firsthand just serving them versus serving a God. And I know that we're supposed to honor and bless our leaders, but it's supposed to be in a way where God is pleased, in a way where God places it on our hearts to do it. And then I also felt like I was only in that ministry for what that those particular leaders could get from me. They didn't love me. They loved my gifts. And it was like I was in a place that I was being tolerated and not celebrated. And even though I knew, and I still know my calling from God, I was placed in a box where we only want you to sing. We only want you to dance. And I knew it was more in me than that. And then every time God would try to elevate me, they would try to tell me, no, that's not what you do here. And so it began to be verbal. It was like more verbal abuse. We would have meetings, and this particular leader would say, you Negroes going to learn to follow leadership.
Wow.
And I...
Wow.
Yeah, and that's when I said, okay, I'm truly in the wrong place. And there was more of the leader being God than God being God. Like, we're supposed to reverence and honor the particular man of God versus the God in the man.
Okay.
And I stayed, and then I realized, because I'm also an overcomer of domestic violence, I saw so many of those traits in my leader that was in my ex-husband.
Okay. I'm glad you
and it
called
even,
the show. Pastor Roseborough, I'm so
even,
glad you called. Okay. I was going to say, I'm so glad.
Physical.
You hear me? Okay. Yeah. Did it get physical, you said?
It got physical. Where I stood up in a meeting one day and I said, you know, I don't think this is the place that I need to be, because I feel like you're taking advantage of us, you know, because we were in this, what they call MIT, Ministers in Training, and at that time, that leader came over here literally and smacked me in my face and told me to be quiet, sit down, speak when I was spoken.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was done with church. I didn't go to church for like 2 years. I said, I'll have church in my living room. Me, the Lord, and the Holy Ghost. And it took me years to get healed from that. And for a long time, I had this stigma about leaders. I didn't trust them. I can say I'm not there today. I do trust the leaders of God. I know how to recognize the difference between a man or a woman that follows the unction of the Holy Ghost versus a man or a woman that's in their flesh and trying to lead people astray. And so that was my experience with spiritual abuse, and it was verbally, it was physical, and I felt like I was in bondage. I literally felt like I was in prison. And it wasn't until I fasted and prayed and I sought God, and he said, I didn't save you for you to be in bondage. I saved you to be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yeah.
And so
Amen.
I finally left that ministry, and it took me about 2 years to go to another church, but it took me another like 5 years to be healed from it.
Mm.
But God is good. God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
It's literally happening in a lot of churches, but people don't talk about it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you called the show, because last week we were talking about how this is a spirit, you know, even being a victim and being victimized. People seem to attract that same spirit in church. Yeah, and you made reference to that, you know, that you could see the similarity between the abuse you were suffering in the world and the abuse you were suffering in the church. And I thank you for coming on and being transparent to even share what that process was like. You said it was a span of, what, 3 years before you returned back to the church?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, it
wow.
was. I did. I stayed out for female pastors. It was to the point where I didn't even want to sit up under a male pastor. Like, literally.
Yeah.
But I'm healed from that today. I realized that it was not, it wasn't God, it was the person.
That's right.
So, you know. And God, this is how God dealt with me. He said, you get misused and abused on your job, but you still go.
Uh-oh.
So just because you get used and misused in the church, you still have to go, because you can't forsake the fellowship of the brethren. And if you're not going to church because your church hurt, then you made the people your God and not me.
Okay.
I like that.
I like that. That's awesome, Pastor Angela. Did you want to piggyback on what she just said?
Well, this is one thing that God allowed me, and that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about writing this book. That the book about spiritual abuse in the church is about leaders and other key people, and how to get people back into the church that have left God and left the church, how to get them to return back to the church. Because there's so many people that have been hurt out here, and they're walking in unforgiveness, and they don't know how to release the hurt and the anger and the bitterness and the hatred that has taken place in their lives. And they don't know what to do to get rid of it. So I have some steps, some prayers, and some procedures and things in the book that will help them to get back in their rightful places with Christ.
Amen.
That's good. And were those steps the ones you mentioned early on?
Oh, yeah, she mentioned some stuff. I know about people getting hit and that kind of stuff in church. I've been there. I've seen that happen. I was sitting in the back, like I said last week, by a young lady in church, and nothing happened. Took it to the pastors. They didn't do anything about it. It was almost making me feel like, you know, she was right about what she did, which I knew she was wrong, and it was never dealt with. And I felt real bad about it, but I knew it was abuse because people just can't hear you. There are just certain things you just don't do. Like you said about, she's been in abuse before with her husband, and I was listening to her, and saying in my head while she was talking. These are the same things that I list up under spiritual abuse. It's the same thing. It's a lot of the same stuff that the world is dealing with, the church is also dealing with. The churches don't know, they don't want to admit it, but it's real.
Amen.
It's real. It's real.
And the sad part about it is God save us to liberate us from bondage. And so oftentimes, people come to the church and fall right into more bondage.
Yep.
And fall right into more bondage. Wow. Pastor Angela, did you want to share with us about the how to confront the spiritual abuse? How to confront it? You talk about the freedom. Well, how do you confront the spiritual abuse?
Okay. Well, I confronted mine because I had to be honest. I just had to stop lying to myself and pretending that it didn't take place or that it didn't happen and say that it did happen. And once I said it, I started actually looking up scriptures about abusive shepherds and shepherds that were mistreating God's people, and found out in Jeremiah there were some scriptures that talked about the shepherds. And I just had to admit that, hey, this is what's happening, God, and if you don't get me out of this, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because people need to get to the point where they don't mind breaking the silent code. First of all, there shouldn't be a silent code when you go to church.
That's right.
There's nothing going on in church that is so secretive that it becomes so silent that you can't talk about it. And I needed back in church and get back into a right relationship. So I had to make sure that I didn't get so offended, or I dealt with my offense to the point where I made sure that when God released me and I opened up the church that I'm at now, I made sure that there was nothing that I didn't mind discussing with people. I don't have anything to hide, you know. I have a quote in there by Henry Ward Beecher that says, "Forgiveness should be like a cancel note, torn in pieces, burned up so that it can never be shown against a man." And that just allowed me to know that God does not allow us to take what people have done wrong and use it against them or build up, you know, a register so that if something comes up that we can use those things. As I was told many times, always is building a record against you. Whenever that time comes, I'll have enough stuff to use against you to get rid of you. And that's not what God does with his people. And I knew that wasn't what he did, but I was caught up in a situation where beautiful place, beautiful church, just didn't know, didn't understand. I didn't even understand how I let myself get so wounded and allow somebody else to have that much control over my life. The Christ wasn't in control anymore. But it happens so quick. It happens so easy when you have to, when you're told to limit who you talk to on the phone. You can't be on the telephone with certain people. You have to be careful, like you said, we talked about earlier, being around your friends and your family, and, you know. And then you hear this scripture about touching out God's anointed all day long. It beats you in the head with that scripture. In other words, you know, be careful how you put your mouth on them, the things that you say, the things that you do, you know, to reveal anything. So everything just kind of started becoming secretive in the church. And people just, you know, so quick to believe anything that somebody says about the church or the people. You know, and false rumors and accusations just, I mean, it just go crazy. It's like people waiting on garbage and waiting on people to talk and gossip and say stuff about you until, you know, they know what happened or why you left. And I had people calling like crazy wanting to know what happened, what went down. I thought y'all were cool like that. What happened, you know? And I'm like, nothing happened. It was, oh, that's not what's being said. And I just got to the place to say, I don't really care about what's being said. I know that God said it was time to leave, and that was that. And it was just time to leave. And I had to remember that, you know, the head of the church should be Jesus. It shouldn't be the shepherd. They're in charge, but they're in charge of God's flock.
That's right.
And the shepherd realizes that the people in the congregation don't belong to him, that they belong to God.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people just don't understand the importance of being in a healthy church. They want to be in a church that, you know, flowing with so many people. It's got to be a mega church now. It's got to be a, you know, a church that got lights from the front door to the back door, that looks like a theater instead of a church building now, and this is what they're looking for.
Absolutely. You're right about it. Well, I want to hear from Pastor Eva concerning how did she confront her spiritual abuse, and then we're going to come back to you, Pastor Williams, to tell us what to look for in a spiritual healthy church. Pastor Eva, how did you confront the spiritual abuse? You talked about the actual abuse, and you talked about the isolation. So how did you confront it? How did you fight your way out of what you were experiencing?
First I fasted and I prayed, and then I had something to compare it to. So I went back to my very first pastor, and I remember his characteristics, how he was just, he was full of compassion. He had a lot of patience. He operated in the gift of teaching. He had the gift of mercy, and he was a humble man. And so the pastor that I set up under after him was the opposite. He was the total opposite of what I just described. And so I thank God that I had something to compare it with. I said, now, I know what a good shepherd looks like because I set up under one before. And so I, the Lord had told me to leave, and because I had formed an emotional attachment to the pastor and his wife, I stayed. I stayed an extra 6-7 months, and finally I had went to visit another church. I don't think I was broke enough. I wasn't abused enough to do something about it. It's sort of like the dog, the story about the dog that sits on the nail, and the owner asked, well, why isn't the dog moving? And the owner said, because it don't hurt enough.
Ooh,
and
wow.
So when it began to, when it began to hurt to the point where I knew I need to get some help, I need to get out of this, I went and I visited another church. And at that point, it was like the fifth Saturday, and they said, you know, on the fifth Saturday, we celebrate our visitors. And they asked us to stand up and tell us, you know, tell us your name and where you're from. And then they said, we're going to pass these two baskets around, and one of them is going to say, it's going to be a word for you right now. And the other basket is a prayer cloth. Feel free to take it and take it home with you. And they said, once you get your word, sit down and open it up and read it. And I still have that word in my Bible, and it said, come out from among them.
Wow.
And I said, this is God talking. And so I went home, as painful as it was, I wrote my letter to say that it was time for me to separate. And of course, that pastor at that particular time stood up and said, you ain't going nowhere. God ain't tell me to release you. You under my watch and this stuff. And I said, no, I'm under the watch of the Holy Spirit, and this is not where I'm supposed to be. And so I left. But when I left, I just felt spiritually raped. I felt abused. I felt wounded. Not that I felt, I was wounded. And I was like, I'm never going to church again.
Wow.
And I didn't for about 2.5 years. But
wow,
I realized that I had to get healed. I needed to be delivered. And the main point, I had to forgive.
That's good.
I did have an opportunity to go face-to-face with this person that abused me. And I said, I really don't need you to say anything. I just need to let you know that I forgive you. And as a sister in Christ, I rebuke you because you're in error.
Mm-hmm.
And he said nothing. And that was the end of that. And so I never returned. But right after that, I kept getting phone calls, text, emails. You need to come visit. We miss you. You need to come back home and this and that. And I was like, home? That's not my home. And after a while, with me ignoring the text and the emails and all that, and eventually stopped reaching out to me.
Amen.
Pastor Ava, thank you so much for your transparency.
I
want to mention something that you said early on. You said it was an emotional attachment. And that's just like, you know, being in an abusive relationship. The thing that keeps you there is the emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where the enemy comes in. That's what he uses. Because when you develop relationships with people, yes, it becomes an emotional attachment, and sometimes it's hard to just break loose from that norm, regardless to whether it's bad for you. It's hard to break that bond. Well, thank you so very much, both of you. Pastor Ava, we're going to have you share some more, and then we have someone wants to know about sexual abuse in leadership as well. So that's another area we want to talk about. Pastor Wade, you mentioned it early on that that's an area of abuse in the church. Yes,
it is.
So we're going to have others to come on and talk about their experiences, even in that area where they manipulated to even go into sexual relationship because of the word being thrown on them, and they felt that they were they had to engage in this relationship because of that. But Pastor Williams, please share with us what the healthy church looks like. We have about 2 minutes, and tell us briefly where our listeners and viewers can get your book, and then Pastor Ava, you can tell us about your ministry. We got 2 minutes, so a minute each, and then we need to
go. Okay. Healthy church should produce peace and rest for your soul. A healthy church should not allow genuine pastoral concern to cross the line into manipulation or control. A true shepherd will use his influence to draw church members into a close relationship with Jesus, who is the only head of the church. A true shepherd realizes and recognizes that the people in the congregation don't belong to him. They're God's flock. A healthy church is one who always reconcile, restore, and forgive others. It's a place where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Members of healthy churches can strengthen, develop, and deepen spiritual relationships, family commitments, and communication, marital relationships, and covenants and spiritual values. Trusting leaders or pastors will encourage accountabilities and balances that will cause growth in the church and not double standards among the congregation.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got less than 60 seconds. Can you tell them where they can find your book? And then we got 30 seconds for Pastor Ava to tell about her ministry.
Yes, the book can be found at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads.com, or any of the large book sellers online. The book is coming out. It's called Spiritual Abuse in the Church, and it'll be out in February.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Awesome.
Pastor Ava, 30 seconds, can you tell briefly about your ministry?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Annie and Pastor Warren Sally. I am the executive director of Expected In Ministries. It's Transitional and Domestic Violence Safe House. It's rebuilding lives through the eyes of faith, and our key scripture, our foundation scripture, is Jeremiah 29:11.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you both for coming on the Wake Up Call talk show. We'll definitely have you both back to talk about spiritual abuse in the church. A special thanks to our Blog Talk listeners, our broadcasting TV network, and our Facebook Live viewers. Thank you so very much for joining us. God bless you all. We pray that God continue to strengthen you. If you know of anyone that's going through this, please share this message with them, and also be in prayer one for another.
Amen.
That's what God commands us
right.
to do.
Amen.
God bless you all. Remember,
this has
been your
wake-up
call.
Thank you.
feel his power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There is power.
There is power
in the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it is to break, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, say to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There's an arm. There's an arm.